President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour, at least, on this November the 17th on the West Coast, now November the 18th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Oh, wow. Well, we've got a great guest lined up for you tonight, and actually tomorrow night. Before we bring him on, I've got a couple of announcements that I want to make. I want to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, as well as on blogtalkradio.com around the world, and especially those in the U.S. military. You're going to find a series of shows that I'm going to be doing probably throughout this week. Very interesting. I composed sort of a summarized version of a longer piece that's going to be soon on my website. The article is called Fort Hoodwinked, Newest False Flag Shooting Story Riddled with Holes. That's going to be in the Idaho Observer for the November edition, which is going to come out in just a couple of days. And you're going to see that I, as usual, went down the rabbit hole and uncovered some facts that are not covered by the mainstream media. And I wonder how many in the Army even know about these facts, about this character who they've given the name Nidal Malik Hassan. And my intuition tells me that that name is just an alias. It's a made-up name. Certain people in the family had been using it for some time. And I uncovered aliases, and I uncovered the usual real estate, money laundering, and corruption. This is of a massive proportion, I have to say. And the name Malik plays a major role in who this guy is and who he's connected to. Whether or not he did any shooting is one issue. There are numerous accounts that say that he wasn't even shooting. There was shooting going on three different parts of the base on November 5th. We're speaking about Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas. And there was also a very interesting event that was occurring in the vicinity of the airstrip. So I encourage you to go to my website, directlightproductions.com. If you'd like to read that article, it's a culmination of a lot of work, I can tell you that. Lots of fact-checking, cross-checking, cross-referencing, and always the eye for the truth, the eye for the unseen, and I've come up with some pretty interesting photographs of this individual under his different aliases. I think you'll find those interesting as well. Go to my website again, directlightproductions.com. Just click on articles, and it'll be the uppermost article on that index page. You can also pull up the complete articles on one page if you hit archive on the articles page. After you spend some time on my website, you'll find out that certain pages operate a certain way and other pages operate another way, but it's growing as we speak. In fact, in about a week, my website will be 2 years old, and that's still in its infancy, so to speak. But there's a lot of material on the site, lots of archives of the shows that we've done over the past few years, many more to go up on the site. I've done many more shows than what appears on the website. But I've been fortunate enough to be able to put the majority of the articles I've written for the Idaho Observer there. And they're free, so have at it. Now, there's a lot going on in the world that's worth talking about, and this couldn't be a better time to have scheduled tonight's guest. He has been a whistleblower of sorts in regard to chemtrails. He's an outspoken opponent of the spraying of our skies, the poisoning of our skies, and the poisoning of virtually every aspect of whatever we breathe or eat or come into contact with. He has a background in chemistry as well, and he's very knowledgeable about the issue of chemtrails, and he's becoming very knowledgeable about the swine flu pandemic and some of the strange diseases that are occurring. He is a frequent guest on many other internet radio shows, and including one with a very good friend of ours, and that's Dr. H. U. Watts, The Story Behind the Story. And tonight's guest is Dr. Mike Castle. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for that introduction, Don, and I'm glad to be with you and the opportunity once again to talk. And see, I just keep saying the same thing. I'm trying to teach that to other people. Just keep saying the same thing. Once you get a hold of something that works, just keep talking the same talk. And go on to other things like you have. You know, you're over here on that and the Ukraine and this and the swine flu pandemic and now Fort Hood. So, you know, I will say that the beat goes on.
Yes. Well, you know, I have to say, Mike, that... It is okay to call you Mike, I hope.
Please do.
Okay. I have to say that some of these stories that I've been looking at are not particularly stories or issues that I would choose on my own. It's almost like people expect me now to go dig into these stories and use some of the techniques that I use in genealogical studies and sort of rewriting history in a sense, because when you identify who some of these people are, who are still today calling many of the shots, you find out that if they're not who they said they were, then much of what they claim to have done or the purposes for which they were done are false. And so we've got to understand what the reality is, or what the reality that's been created for us has been. At least that's my thinking, and that we can give people the opportunity to choose for themselves. I find great power in claiming one's personal choices, their sovereignty, and their ability to take responsibility for what occurs in their life. I certainly would prefer to make mistakes and pay for them myself rather than have someone intentionally lead me down a path that's going to not be in my best interest whatsoever, with no way out of it either. You know, that's sort of where the world finds itself today. Do you agree with that?
It's the Matrix. It's the Matrix, exactly. It's the Matrix, and in the chemtrail sense, Don, what I started with was, first of all, I was in just a mild state of denial in the beginning. This was 97, 98, 99. I was a pilot, had instrument rate. And I just noticed all types of real odd, freaky, this is not norm, weather situations, weather patterns, and these trails. And they didn't follow any particular vector. They weren't any type of airway. They were checks and grids and like, who is doing that? Well, it wasn't at 60,000 feet above, which is the positive control zone. It was down there around 30, 20,000 feet. Just very, very weird things. And what I found out was once I started digging in, like you, in the genealogical sense, as you say, with searching for people, I dug into the patent lineage, in a sense, and started looking for key phrases, things that, and there was really nothing available. And of course, I was on dial up, and you know, remember how slow those things went?
Oh yeah, sure.
but you know, I was able to eke out, and talking with people, masterful in what they do and they know, and they have amassed, such as Clifford Carnicom, Will Thomas. I mean, Will Thomas was the very first person I ever heard say the word chemtrails. And this was in 1999, and I just had to make a comment to a registered professional geologist who knew Richard Hoagland and done quite a bit of geological work for that and so on and so forth. And his name was Ronnie Nix. And anyways, they found that my comments about what's going on in the atmosphere, I knew just by looking at things like total ozone mapping interferometries from their own satellite systems, they were patching up ozone holes. Somebody had busted these huge ozone holes in the northern latitudes up and around the Arctic Circle and just below it, all over Canada. Let's just say on a geological or a geographical map looking straight down. But then they had these massive huge of magenta, which was brand new ozone, put there over where this hole was that they could only see with this particular interferometry. So in that, that's what landed me on Art Bell's show in January of 2000. Mm-hmm. And I was on there for 4 hours, and Will Thomas, I believe, came in on the last hour. So that's how the whole thing launched off, and I've always kept it as simplistic as possible. I've not, in fact, done any genetic tracing or anything like that. I really, at this point, have no tolerance for or patience for those who just want to study something. They want to study something and research it. And I'm clamoring for, listen, are we going to find a way to reverse this and stop it, or are we just going to keep researching it? And that's my only point that I have to make in most of these topics, but in particular the chemtrails. So what I've tried to do through all these years is, first of all, I learned to stay below a radar. And believe me, they got a very vast one out there, as you well know. you stay below that, but you still continue your research and you still keep talking. But you just got to keep saying the same thing. Those people listening out there will have no faith in you whatsoever, because you always change your story. And this is not a criticism of anybody who has to sell things to make a living. But I've got nothing for sale. And everything that I do, I used to call it belligerent courage. I didn't know why I was doing this. It was just like crazy. Okay. But I've refined that understanding to myself is I'm just paying forward. And that's what I'm doing tonight. Everything that I've learned and developed a sense of, I'm just paying it forward. And as you say many times, and so does everyone else on these truth speakeasies such as your program and many, many others, you just keep saying the same thing. Finally, there will be enough credibility with the fact that you've never changed your story. And the military, by the way, you said with your listening audience, I would just be hopeful that there would be somebody out there from the U.S. Air Force listening in the military, because there are things that are occurring that they, in fact, are masterful in their duties, in fact, to fly Soviet aircraft, Ukrainian aircraft. I mean, aircraft of every flag that you can probably think of, doesn't matter where it comes from, and they are involved in these spray chemtrail operations. My only appeal is the same as I made in front of the gate at 12A, standing there with Clifford Carnicom and Lori Kramer and Kim Dolly and just a whole host of pioneers, if you will, of organized opposition researchers. In fact, is just appealing to the National Atmospherics Testing Lab there to please look at what you, in fact, are dealing with just the chemistries of them. And I made that appeal, and it did. About 6 months later, I got a list of 15 U.S. patents that directly involved these agents, and even in this case, biological and organic materials that were also part of the patented process of these things that they were putting in the air. So I make the same appeal is, in fact, before they go on to their operations and these things that are, well, they're clandestine, but they were told that they won't hurt us. They're environmentally friendly and all the other matrix baloney. These will hurt you. They, in fact, will hurt everything that's in your life and in this dimension as a world. And I said it in a number of papers that I've written. This is designed to transmute the entire life forms on this planet.
There's no doubt about that.
I'm not certain that there is another planet. It's just that I know that is the transmutation is occurring and taking place. And these people that are involved in these operations, the chemtrail, the biological weapons spraying, the viruses, and all these other geoengineering aberrations, because that's what this is. This is an aberration of behavior by a group of killer beings. They are killer beings. Now, you don't need to know exactly who those people are unless you want to find out, but you've got to understand that they, in fact, hate all of humanity or anything that is of creation. They hate God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what this is all about.
Well,
it
I have to agree with you, Mike. It finally came
down to earth.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. That's a topic that we discuss very frequently on the show with many of the guests, the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. This is spiritual warfare.
This is spiritual warfare.
Good versus evil, and or the creation versus the destroyer. It's as simple as that. And we have evidence of whose side they're on here, right before us, just by looking or sniffing the air, or listening to all the sounds.
Well, all the HD wave, all the acoustic thing, the things that you're masterful with, as long as Dr. Truot, all these things, in fact, that are designed. We've read their patents. We've read the Lowry patents. We see how they use acoustical sound as mind control. And then I look at the physical sense of, how does that do that? Well, I wouldn't have known that until, in fact, I listened to just a very bright man. His name is Dr. A. Truot on one of the radio internet shows one day. I believe it was on the Power Hour. That's when I first started. And he started talking about something called Sounds of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I knew everything. You know how you get. And then when he started talking about this, it was like just a silent eureka to me. Because that's how they were doing that. They were actually physically oscillating the alpha waveform in your own brain, in your own mind, with this acoustical microwave frequency base modulation carrier wave. And this thing was, in fact, coming off these Gwen towers. And, in fact, they were able to literally change your mind. And here's the really, really creepy thing about it is your mind does not know the difference. That's the thing that really spellbound me for a long time. You don't know that you, in fact, were going to dissent or do something different. You don't know that. I believe that they flooded the entire area of the Sam Rayburn building the day that Congress, last October, passed the bailout package and all that stuff. I really believe that they used this mesmeric waveform, in fact, to create chaos. I know that they created fear in the minds of many of the congressmen, in fact, who voted for that bill. And I'm not cutting them a pass, you understand? I know exactly what happened to T-Berry, which is here in the state that that I'm in. And I know that he's also, in fact, a mere corporate agent. Now I know why he votes for things the way he does, right along with these flaming liberal demoncrats that we got going on there. And he's a Republican. Listen, this man needs to take a walk. And I've published my opinion on that in that last paper that I sent you a copy of, Reversing Systemic Origins of the Pseudo-Earth. And people, it covers a whole lot of territory. And I do, in fact, refer to the Air Force in that paper as the Air Farce. And that's the current era. That's, in fact, what I think these people are that are involved with spraying of the chemtrails and all these other aberrant behaviors, and, in fact, that we, in fact, are inhaling every single day. It's falling upon our being. It's falling upon our earth. It's falling upon our food, our waters. You can't escape it. But then again, how many times do you raise your hand up in the air and pump your fist in the air and just say, stop this insanity? And I wrote a document in 2003 with my background in environmental and reading through regulations that just makes your skin crawl. I wrote a document I called the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act of 2003. I updated that in 2008. It is a document, and I know you haven't went down this trail yet, but it is a document that, in fact, is written as a demand petition. The demand petition, because you're, in fact, a self-appointed jurist of one, and by the way, the Constitution allows you to do that because it allows you to file a petition, a legal document. Well, this demand petition is to halt the release of anything into our breathable air column, our atmosphere, and in fact, otherwise spray, dispense, deploy, or otherwise release into our air as a demission, something that comes out of something, a vessel, and falls to the earth eventually. It falls to the earth, okay? We're not talking about stuff coming out of smokestacks. We're talking about what comes out of the air, because this is what they have picked as their modus operandi for deployment and dispensement of all these horrible, massive amounts of aberrant technology. They're aberrations of normal technology. They really are. And I believe I cited that in my reversing paper, where I believe the origins of some of these technologies is not here. They're on a different planet, in a different galaxy. They come from places that most people just like scratch your head and won't believe that. But these things are just so aberrant and so bizarre. I don't know that if you were a human and you in fact engaged in development of some of these things, why would you do that and then put your whole career into that? In the development of a weapon.
Yeah, they always seem to weaponize it. Now, what you're describing, and I've, of course, had this discussion with True and some of my other guests, is that the human species operates on a particular set of frequencies, we'll say. And they know what these frequencies are, and they can create dissonance or discord within that realm of frequency vibrations and harmonics and throw it into chaos, which is exactly what they're doing. In other words, it would be like you drinking a bottle of or a whole container full of antifreeze because you're thirsty, and it looks maybe like a lime or a lemonade or even an orange juice nowadays. They have different colors of antifreeze, as you well know. Well, there's no logic in that just because it's a liquid, and generally liquids satisfy our thirst or quench our thirst. And what they do with these frequencies, and you touched upon that in True's work with the Sound of Silence, is they cause certain aspects of these fundamental frequencies that dictate how we operate as sentient beings and as biological entities, and they throw everything out of whack, or they switch it off, or they turn off certain receptors and amp up other ones that again put us out of balance. And you see this in the behavior of people. You see something as simple as a word that you may speak to that person causing the eyes to glaze over and or to see them break out in a sweat or...
Just say to chemtrails.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, their eyes immediately roll up in the back of their head.
Or 9/11 or something like that. You know, yeah. 9/11 was an inside job. You know... They just go into this catatonic shock of sorts.
Well, and, see, it's the Matrix that's been able to hone that resistance in our cerebral cortex, hone that down real well with it when it's assisted by fluoride and the fluorosides. And in fact, they come from all myriad of chemistries that are involved in the pharmaceuticals of virtually all the drugs that are manufactured today that all of these people take for every kind of condition that you can, in fact, shake a stick, the statin drugs. All of them, in fact, have got these aberrant chemistries in them that, in fact, are designed to lower your resistance to normal, sane thought. And it's like they're able actually to telegraph, I hate to use that word also, but they're able to actually put out an acoustical waveform that triggers certain functionality in everybody's body that is mimicking exactly the craving from something that has MSG in it, monosodium glutamate. So mm-hmm. It is a very good sales and marketing tool to put this particular band wave out on a Friday night. Why does everybody go buy a pizza? Something salty, something I believe that they put this out on a routine basis. It's like advertisement in the sky. Hey, listen, this is going to trigger your addiction, craving, compulsive disorder that you've got that everyone, in fact, seems to be attracted to junk food just like a artificial lure attracts most fish, certain types of fish. But it's artificial. You can't eat it. There's nothing there. Mm-hmm. But look at it. Oh, man. It looks like a Subway. It looks like a great big old slice of pizza. See, it's craving that particular taste, flavor, but actually it's the MSG that's in all processed foods, which squarely fit upon the juncture of that craving, and most humans, in fact, giving into that crave, and like I said, buying a pizza on a Friday night. You know, hey, listen, it's Friday night, football Friday night, but it's pizza. There's something you trigger. So this culminates in reducing everyone's edge. The Matrix has got a very, very unique way of being able to trim that edge and kick in your, I can't dissent against this. I know it's not good for me, but hey, I just really want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes universally throughout our daily lives.
Yeah, wouldn't you agree that the power of suggestion, too, in the way that these products, let's say pizza, for example, is advertised, mm-hmm. has a lot to do with the body's receptivity to these chemicals, these additives that are put
exactly.
there. Sometimes they're just called flavor enhancers, though they do a lot more than enhance flavor. And then I ask myself, what is the benchmark for a flavor enhancer? You know?
MSG is first a meat tenderizer. You got to always keep that in mind. That's
mm-hmm.
its first functionality, is to be able to tenderize meat. Hey, accent? Oh, gee, everybody remembers that. Everybody used to make that, take that, and put it all over everything. You know, we had no clue, did we?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that functionality also takes place in your stomach. And once it, in fact, goes into the bloodstream, it's going to provide the same functionality there. Why would it be any different than on any other piece of meat? Well,
mm-hmm.
this is your arterial wall, you know. Well, hey, it's a meat tenderizer, dummy. So, yeah. But it's addictive. That's the nasty thing. It's addictive.
If the cattle themselves, let's say we're speaking about cattle as the meat source, were raised holistically, you wouldn't need the meat tenderizer. And it would probably be healthier. I'm not necessarily for or against eating meat. I think some people require it in their diet to maintain certain levels of protein and certain certain biological activity within their body.
Well, vitamins too.
You know, others can withstand just vegetables and fruits and nuts and grains and or various combinations. I think we're all different because of all this manipulation and I think because of what frequencies we've been repetitively exposed to. I think it has a lot. It's a mix of things. Education is another aspect of this. You know, when you're told, well, you need 8 hours of sleep every day or every night, otherwise you'll get sick. So if you don't get eight hours of sleep, what happens? You get sick because that suggestion has been planted into your subconscious, and the subconscious mind wants to cooperate.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember hearing this, you know, whether you even pay attention to it, the subconscious is constantly reminding you of what you've seen and heard and felt and smelled and tasted and experienced. And we're usually quite oblivious to all this, aren't we?
We are. We're oblivious. But then again, I know that that's part of the programming. That's what spearheads all the Lowry patents in discussion. They talk about subliminal embedment. Well, that's where the embedment takes place, not topically. It doesn't take place as much as in the frontal lobes as it does, in fact, in the subconscious mind, in the region of the central cortex. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can talk about brain, you can talk about minds. Really, I think the mind is more, the physical entity of that is the brain, and I've seen patents that, in fact, would not just suggest, but it would also clearly mark that there's certain types of pathways that started off with the Morgellons fibers way back when, back before it was even called Morgellons. These were just the blues, the reds, and the yellows, and the clears too. The blues, the reds, and the yellows. Well, I got samples of those things, but in that search, I found out, and this is just on my scale. I didn't publish papers about it. There was no need, right? Really, but what I found out was that there was a tremendous amount of academia, graduate work in development of something called dendrites or dendritic polymers. And these dendritic polymers were associative actually with the siliceous form of a glass nodule, a form of glass. And then I stumbled across what NASA called non-life forms on other planets might be there, and non-life forms, pseudo-life forms, something that really doesn't exist with life as we know it, whatever that spark might be that drives us, and the creation does that, yes, okay, but not in this sense. These are life forms that don't have any life, okay, let's just clear that off in the first, but they in fact have got something. Something makes them move. Well, are they like a machine? Well, they could be, but nonetheless, they operate on a totally different frequency than any life that we know. Well, back at the ranch, and the reason I brought that up is because I noted that this particular microscopic form of the Morgellons, these seeds, they're like a nodule. They're like the it's the black peppers. It's the get the black peppers coming out of the skin, the little pepper flakes. That's what they look like, but they're round. And now I know that with other done some research on it, they in fact occur fractally. It's like here's a big one. It's about as big as a 50-cent piece, just in nominal equation geometry. This is just to give you a reference point. Nothing that big. But something that's microscopic to begin with, but some of them are greater in size than the others, and they, in fact, if you put them in a spiral and look down on them, they would be identical to one another. They're fractal. And I know a lot of, I know Dr. Otte, in fact, knows a lot about that particular subject, and I do too. But these fractal entities are able to pass through the menin, in the bloodstream, into the brain. Now, we don't know, because I just heard this evening listening to Clifford Kernicom on Jeff Wren's show that, you know, there's been no postmortems, there's been no autopsies, you know, nobody's volunteered for that yet. You know, well, that'd be a sacrifice. But they're not certain where all this infects and invades or infests. It's my favorite word. Where does it infest in the body? It works just like a pathogen. I believe there it is harboring itself in the brain. Don't want to be an alarmist, but I'm just saying, consider this. It's got all the physical manifestations of being able to transport there, and that's called through your bloodstream. It has all the capabilities, in fact, of taking up position there and, in fact, begin replication. Now, that's a dendritic or dendrite, and it's available to mimic gray matter. But is it really gray matter anymore? Or is it a polycrystalline matter of some sort that I think David Icke called polycrystalline arrays? And I would tend to agree with that from a technical standpoint after reading through all these patents and seeing who put this stuff together. Well, I found out, Don, that really the origins did not really come from anyone here on Earth. No individual working for academia, the government, or a university, or anybody else privately actually developed this from a core nucleus. They didn't. They took something and attached all these other things like armaments. They put all these other groupings of materials on there that do all these other things to humans and other life forms. But the artificial intelligence seed did not start here. And that's what I keep talking about. If it didn't come from here, then where did it come from? Well,
Zeta Reticuli.
That's just one place. That's just one place that it came from, but that's whom brought it.
Yes.
And I believe, in fact, that there was something called the vital message from the Galactic Federation. I read that many years ago, and it jumped out at me on the page. It jumped out at me. Because when I read through that, I had been looking for information of that sort, but I put something into my search engine that was only for me and personal for me and what I was looking for. But then this just jumped out of the entire sector of these things when I ask about names of the five different species of extraterrestrials. That's just what I ask. And this is what I came up with. The one thing I came across, the thing called the vital message. And in that, I don't know if you ever read that, but in that, the Orinian queens, the queens of Orion, as they speak about, in fact, I guess are in some type, and I'll kind of put it in a, with all respect of whomever this might be, or maybe I'm no respecter of them, I'm not certain. I don't think I am because they represent a queens of serpents. They are the Orinian queens. They are serpentine. They, in fact, had given permission, if you will, I guess, whatever the case may be, without drawing it into a story that, you know, can't finish this tonight. But nonetheless, they're the unleashing of something that would destroy humanity on this planet was given. And they brought it here. This is just me, okay? This is just the story, as True says, behind the story. In this case here, I have to say, this has got to be the ultimate probability because there are no other options.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Now, you brought up some points that bring, you know, my own consciousness to the forefront in regard to chemtrails, for instance. I first had chemtrails sprayed over my house on September 12th, 2001. I had seen them sprayed in other parts of the world throughout my travels, and I wondered why other areas weren't being sprayed. And then I began to see them everywhere and got reports of seeing them everywhere. And they were denying, first of all, that that was being done, which was ridiculous. You know, you see it and you see the effects of it. And many of the things that you're describing about these crystalline structures come to mind when we saw these webs hanging from tree branches or from the antenna of a car or the rearview mirror of a car. Anywhere these I think they were polymers, actually, you know, strands of polymers that were bonded together with metals, certain heavy metals, desiccated blood. We saw all the signs of this, and then when the official reports started coming out about Morgellons, I had told Dr. Bill Deagle that I thought that the chemtrails were the cause of Morgellons, at least what they were putting in the chemtrails. And he thought I was nuts, but a few months later he began taking my position as well. And I had talked to some researchers who were really seriously doing the research to find out what was going on with this. My intuition told me that most of this technology or the combinations of these elements were inspired by beings from another realm who didn't have our best interest at heart. I mean, how can you poison what you eat? How can you spray this on fields and crops and on wildlife that certain number of people eat? How can you do this with any conscience at all?
No compassion.
Yes. No. And so
when
you ask these questions, you start to get answers. You really do. And of course, you're not getting the answer from any sort of academic of officialdom, we'll say, but you get it from the Creator. You get it from within the nature. These, we have it built into us to understand these things and to sense what's going on. Certainly, you don't have to be a biochemist to know that there's something in the chemtrails that's affecting a lot of people's respiratory tract. Lots of people have developed problems long before they ever mentioned the word swine flu.
Yes.
At least in this generation and maybe one or two prior to this generation. Going back to 1918, although we had a scare in 1976, I believe, as well. Because they've tried to do this and these sorts of sadistic experiments on humanity without ever alluding to the fact that they're doing it. Denying it all along that they're doing it, just like they deny the existence of flying saucers.
Yes.
And abductions and all of these things, you see. It's an endless stream of lies. So
yes.
You're right. People are waking up to this on some level. They're aware something's not right.
Right.
They don't know exactly what it is.
Right. And see, that's right there, Don. That is a pinnacle point right there. Denying flying saucers exist, denying ET exist, not even denying that the subject even be dragged into somewhere called officialdom of anything. But then again, I now know these people aren't official anything. They're all mere corporate agents. And in fact, it's within that realm that in fact you come into this thing that we're discussing about who they really are. They have no compassion. They, in fact, seem to be soulless, which is the other words that I've been asked about. And I just, in fact, stated in my paper, if they have a demonic possession, obviously there are no other options here. But they don't have a human spirit as we have a human spirit. Yeah, if you are, you have to claim that you are. But if, in fact, you go about these things in perpetration against just regular life, whether you like them or not, whether you love them as fellow humans or nature, animals, foliage, fauna, anything, but you'll go ahead and, in fact, you'll push the sequence start button that starts these things spraying whatever the heck's coming out of your aircraft that you're at 30,000 feet, and you do like a milk run every single day over the same area, you know. Well, I believe that they've modified that, and the pilots are no longer pilots. They're pseudo-pilots, and in fact, most of these are remote control or UAV in their specter. They really don't have to use pilots because there's too much whistleblower potential, and there's too much attrition because there's a whole bunch of them getting sick now, and we're going, oh, man, you know. you mean I sprayed that stuff and I got this disease, this thing? What is this? You know, hey, I'm sorry there, sir. Nobody really cares. You're kind of like in the same ship we're all in the same waters. And but going back to who they are, I tell you, the how many times have the U.S. Air Force and the government, the military, the Pentagon in particular, how many times have they outrightly denied that there's such things as UFOs and tried to make some type of, like, rub-a-dub-dub comment about what this might have been, which is just absolutely insanity, makes no sense whatsoever, but most people still buy it. It's like, oh, well, gee, you know, they're... Oh, I don't know. You know, if they were here, I would have known about it. I would have been here. See,
we would have seen it on TV.
they would have had it on 11 o'clock news, but they would have teased you about it first, you know. Find out who's really out there.
Yeah.
Details at 11. Well, you know, where's Carla when you really need him? Boy, he could really do a number on this one. But I really think that these are beings. Now, does that segregate them and separate them from us? Well, no, they're still like us. I believe that they probably have most of the same identical DNA that we have as humans, but they've got some differences. There's something else there, and that DNA isn't really a life form. It's not for a life form. There's also what appears to be like replication sequences. Now, I've not studied that. I'm just listening to what other people have been talking about and what they've been researching and reading and things like that. And as I said, masterful individuals and pioneers such as Clifford Carnicom just researches this and finds out things we would never know otherwise. But see, it's piecing itself together, but who they really are is they're in our midst. They're amongst us. And with the with what I believe are the star children, the star childs, or the offspring of the star childs, are in every agency. They're embedded. They've been there for quite a while. They're embedded in every agency, and in particular the Pentagon and the military. They're everywhere, even down to your local county public health official. They are all of this sect, S-E-C-T. They're of that, whomever these beings are. Well, you know, did they come from here? Kinda. Why do they hate us so much? Because they're not really like us in their spirit. In my opinion, they don't have a spirit because they've got no heart. They can, in fact, go about this and it's just for the money. Well, I got to keep my job. I got to get paid. But they just continue blindly down this path, thinking that plausible deniability, in fact, must work every time. This won't work this time, ladies and gentlemen. It won't work this time because once it, in fact, starts manifesting itself into the next phase, it's too late to stop. And you remember I told you I just wanted to appeal? My appeal is change your heart. Just change your heart, if you got one.
I was just going to say that.
Steal my thunder? Don't you dare.
No.
Change your heart if you've got one.
Yeah.
This is not the Wizard of Oz. You got a heart. But it's just, where does that heart come from? There's only one place that I'm aware of as a chemist that God exists in our bodies. And it's in your heart.
Yes. Now, as a chemtrail opponent,
opposition researcher.
Yes. Well, you're a researcher, and I'm sure you're not a proponent of chemtrails.
No.
So as
no, I'm the opposition.
Yes. Okay. As an opponent of chemtrails, you and someone who has studied them in depth or studied the work, let's say of Will Thomas or Cliff Carnicom.
Teller. And I studied Teller, what Teller wrote.
Okay.
That was,
Edward
that
Teller,
was,
you're saying.
That
yeah.
was the key. That was the, yeah, I said the William Teller the last time I was on Truett Show. I mean, all of a sudden people got this vision, I'm sure, of a guy standing there by the outhouse with an apple on his head.
I think I was on that show, too, shooting Adam.
Yes, you were. Edward Teller, yes.
Well,
the man the brain that, in fact, invented the hydrogen bomb, so, anyway.
Mm-hmm. The point I was going to make is that the technology for binding these things together usually has something to do with metals. In fact, my research into the, and I'm not intending to go into a discussion of the swine flu, but just to say that these vaccinations and vaccinations of many types use ligand technologies, which are basically the process used to bind these molecules of different substances right. together. Now, the metals we know can travel to the brain, and it's most likely that they're using the metals as the medium through which to accomplish this.
Yes.
Probably because of the electrical properties of the brain, wouldn't you say that might be the cause?
Yes, right. Yeah, I would. Yeah, the metals, in fact, having some ultimate toxicities, that would obviously where most damage would occur, such as mercurial compounds or mercury-based compounds, thimerosals, and all the other nice, wicked elixirs that they, in fact, are able to make. That will damage the neuron very specifically because of its metal and its frequency and its ultimately its toxicity. Yeah, and aluminum. Aluminum does a number on the way the brain is able to function. And some of these, if not most of them, are cumulative also. They, once you in fact have them, you rarely are able to just get rid of them. They will bind into fatty tissues and things of that nature, so. And you can detox that which affects you the most, I'm certain, but I don't believe that all detoxes, at least the ones that are natural for living things, in fact, when you detox with EDTA and things like that, what is wrong with you? Why would you want to put a chemical detox agent into your bloodstream? I've just not figured that, except, well, it must be being promoted by some pharmaceutical, the medical industry itself. And then I find out that exactly both of those comments are true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's promoted by the chemical industry because, we buy into this, DuPont used to say, progress through chemistry or something like that. And they no longer believe in that. Oh, what a statement. What a statement. But anyways, chemically cleansing the blood, well, I guess, whatever trips your trigger, if you think that's going to help you, fine. Have a nice day. But there are so many other natural detoxifying agents out there, including the thing that Dr. Truett, our friend Truett, in fact, talks about, and mineralization, using minerals to, in fact, improve the system. And if you listen to some of the things, and I know this just goes all over the place, but see, these are component parts.
Mm-hmm.
The probability that there are mycoplasmas, and these are mycoplasma diseases, including the Morgellons, there is a direct correlation and connection, according to what I heard Clifford Carnicom talk about on Jeff Renz this evening, and he has a paper about this. Mycoplasma, there seems to be structures that, in fact, involve this little booger. But at the same time, I remember clearly that the mineralization technique and things that Dr. Ott's talking about clearly define how the body, in fact, using these types of minerals, are able to improve the oxygen level of the blood. That's the one thing that mycoplasma diseases cannot tolerate is oxygen. Matter of fact, that's what Bearden said. on one of these interviews one evening, he said the only way he was able to drop this thing that infested him, which was a mycoplasma type disease, I believe it was, and that was the one thing that in fact made the most improvements, was getting the blood oxygen level up, and that in fact enables the body to in fact get rid of all this infestation. So I know everybody seems to be on the right track as far as a trajectory into finding out how to tame this thing, how to pull it back down out from in front of our faces.
Mm-hmm.
So
speaking of additives or adjuvants in these vaccines, and I'm using this just as an example because it is a current event. We have squalene or squalamine, which are sort of oily compounds that are precursors to sterols, and they're found in nature. Usually, you'll hear about this. Let's say, like in shark liver oil, for example.
H38C50. Yeah.
Yes, and in respect to the fact that it's probably expensive to get it in its natural version, do you suspect, on the basis of how many petroleum products go into everyday drugs that people take, we're talking about either prescription or over-the-counter drugs, that to mimic those natural substances that may not be harmful let's use the shark liver oil as an example. If that's being modified with petroleum drilled out of the ground, or if it's being mimicked. Using that, do you think that's a possibility?
That's the best word, mimicked. Mimic. It is a pseudo. It's a pseudo replacement, or a substitute for the real thing, and there are no substitutes for the real thing. However, in all these conditions with those adjuvants, the shark oil, in fact, what was done on that research to begin with, H38C50, was that this shark found in the deep canyons, abysses of the deepest oceans, in fact, they found the shark had this huge liver. Well, they extracted the oil from it, and they started utilizing that. They found out that boosted your own immune system. It kind of turned things on and made your immune system even work better. Okay, well, I guess that was a good discovery. I'm not certain. I wouldn't know why I would need a jump start on my immune system, but people who have AIDS obviously would have to have something like that. Well, I don't know where all that went. The next time I met that word squalene or adjuvants, it was in the context of them putting this in various types of vaccines used for, in principle was for the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. And I just thought, if you look at the information, there's nothing natural, there's not even, it's all crude, it's all mimicked to be these types of hydrocarbon chains and these oils and so on and so forth, but they're not. So can they function like a normal squalene adjuvant taken from a shark, a living entity? And then, no, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, I believe it's causative of that neuron degenerative disease. What's the name of that?
Barr syndrome?
No, it's something else. It's a neural disorder, but it's a neural disease, but I believe many of the problems that we have with neural diseases in elderly people and young people comes from the cumulative effect of having all these vaccines put into our bloodstream, injected or whatever the case may be, and this effect is being causative of things that I've got the same diagnosis as Parkinson's, but that's not Parkinson's. It's actually autism. But you understand, it's caused by these mimicked compounds that are being put into all these, and that doesn't, and that just covers the ones in the realm of the hydrocarbons and what they use as adjuvants, but it causes all these other things that they've got no clue. But see, some person who thought that they were brilliant can mimic the chain. Oh yeah, it's put together like this, and then, but that's got nothing to do with the natural compound, because the natural compound has all the impurities that are surrounding the primary nucleus of the components and of the compound itself, but that's the only way nature will work. That's why you can't isolate that one component from nature, and it will not work anymore. You've got to have all these other side chains available with it. You can't even replicate the main core molecular structure, let alone all the impurities.
Yeah, well, when I used my antifreeze example before, as far as, you know, taking a glass of antifreeze because it looks like it's going to quench your thirst.
Right.
If it keeps
the
car cool, you know.
Right. Keeps it. Looks like, well, it kind of doesn't. Yeah. It kind of tastes kind of funky, but
I think you're referring to the disease amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is also known as ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right.
Okay, that's the progressive degeneration of motor neurons of the central nervous system, which is one of the... that's the main problem that Desiree Jennings, the cheerleader from the Washington Redskins, suffered. It brings about a state of dystonia, and I don't know if she had a full blown dystonia, but Dr. Rashid A. Buttar, who's actually going to be on the show next Wednesday. Brought her around by replacing essential minerals in her bloodstream. He described it as sort of a chelation therapy using nutrients in IV form and flushing out all the toxins. But she was she had degenerated to the point to where she was in respiratory distress and having seizures every 40 to 45 seconds. Just uncontrollable. In fact, he was trying to examine her, and he couldn't even do that until he stabilized the condition, because just touching her was so painful that she went into seizures. And she wasn't breathing for periods of 15 to 30 seconds. She was in bad shape.
You see, she was able to recover because of his therapy using IV.
Yes.
Natural nutrients?
All natural. And he did this nonstop for a period of 36 hours. She went from being in this almost paralytic state to standing up, hugging her husband, talking, everything. Her tongue was so swollen from this condition. And that's a thing that these hydrocarbons cause. They cause swelling because these are... the two proponents in petroleum and natural gas, C30H50 is a hydrocarbon.
Right. Right. And that's what they, in fact, are going by as what, well, we've synthesized this, and this is, in fact, what worked just as well. And who was behind that to begin with is the ones of the patent holders, which... was the granddaddy company of Seba Geigy, if you're aware of that, Toms River, New Jersey. I think I mentioned some of this about actually being there on that site and that horribly contaminated site there at Toms River, New Jersey, and some of the 12 cancer cluster groups that was within a five-mile radius of this particular old facility, which was a combination of Seba Geigy and Sandoz Chemical. Another really nasty chemistry type company, just horrendously nasty chemicals. Well, they in fact had formed another company, and I guess allowed the other two to slide into oblivion, and they formed a company, a corporation called Novartis. And they in fact hold the patents on the artificial squalene. And that's what is, that's the promotional basis of what's in these vaccines that we know them today. And yes, they're the ones that were obviously given the liability pass by the Congress and the Bush administration, about these types of vaccines. So, I mean, as I said before, Don, and the beat just continues to go on. You
yes.
don't have to be Republican or Democrat because they're not that. They're Democrats and Republicillians, I contend.
That's a good term. You know, we know, even in the days of William Rockefeller, I mean, he was known as a snake oil salesman. He was selling this what he was alleging was an herbal tonic, which was nothing but a bottle filled with waste products from petroleum refinement. And he made quite a bit of money selling this stuff, and obviously didn't pay any penalties for it. And we're noticing that we're in the same situation today. That somebody would do this and allow this. I mean, the FDA allows this, the American Medical Association, the Center for Disease Creation in Atlanta.
All embedded. They're all embedded.
Yes. Well, that they would allow this to occur with these medicines, with these vaccines, and taking into conjunction what they're spraying in the skies, obviously they're setting us up for a massive immuno response. Let's say, you know, you're subjected to the adverse effects of these chemtrails, and depending on where you live and what the atmospheric and weather conditions are like, you're going to suffer more or less on the basis of the intensity of the spraying and over what period of time you were subjected to it.
Hmm.
When one gets a particular vaccine, or I would even suggest or submit that likely many of these pharmaceutical drugs also enhance that in a similar way. I don't think that they're going that far out of their way to change the makeup of these drugs that they're selling. They figure out ways to put it in pill form, in a gel cap, in a capsule or in a caplet or some yeah. modification of that, some different sizes or different dosages. But
and they're always able to get fluoride in it.
Yes. I was going to allude to that. Not only do we have it in those medications, but they are still putting it in our drinking water, telling us that it prevents cavities.
Right.
It probably prevents cavities in the brain, too.
Well, actually, I've got a different steer on that, Don. I believe that when it goes into the portion of the gray matter, they claim that what happens to Alzheimer's patients is that just certain regions of their brain just, like, die off. Oh, you mean, like, is there's nothing left up there? Well, that's what they're trying to in fact, infer. Now, if that's true, then what would cause that? Just localized kill-off of brain cell matter. Okay, now if you look at the ingestion of, by any method, means even inhalation, because fluoride has been found in the chemtrails in years past, but all this massive infusion of fluoride through the toothpaste that you, any kind of toothpaste that you buy that is on your local drugstore shelf or wherever that, it's got fluoride in it. The mouthwash got fluoride in it. Even down to waters for babies, it's got sodium fluoride in it. Okay, now the question is, these people, in fact, have to recognize that we know that that is poison. That's the principal ingredient in rat poison is fluoride. Okay, we know that. Why are you still putting that in there? Why are you still putting that in the local drinking water? Why? They never answer the question. Yes, it's always asked, but they never answer the question. It's like one of those words, like 911 or chemtrails. God, you can't believe it, you know. That they
or
got
flying saucers.
Or flying saucers. They got to indoctrinate us again, you know. It's good for you. Well, we don't really care what you think is good for us. We know that, in fact, that your policy was not made with us in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, be it as it may, that fluoride in the brain, I believe, causes a plaquing. And that plaquing, in fact, is what is somewhat obfuscating that the scope or the radiology, whatever type of imprimatur that might be used. I don't know if they can do that with sonogram or not, but it shows that there are regions of the brain that in fact are now gone or dead or both. I believe that is caused principally by the infusion of fluoride plaquing in the brain.
Now,
that
would that by nature, and maybe that's a misnomer, but would that that affect, let's say, the synapses? In other words, would that impede electrical flow?
That's exactly what the fluoride is doing. It's virtually short-circuiting that flow. And fluoride, in fact, will also stop the flow of choline esterase coming from the spinal fluid into the central cortex and as it goes up in the brain. Now, I'm just a chemist, but I see how all this stuff works. And, in fact, if that entire region is fouled with plaquing, if you can imagine, just like any other conveyance, a pipe or whatever, just filled full of, to get a visual on it, filled with this these side balls that have built up and have plaque an entire region or inside your water heater downstairs. And if it's got calcium and magnesium, these, in fact, are going to crystallize out with the heat that's involved out of the water and, in fact, form these hard, crusty plaques. Well, can't be certain that if they're able to actually visualize hard, crusty plaques, but I do know that large regions of the brain have been affected by the fluoride and the aluminum that, in fact, are in our diets and in everything that is we are about and goes to that region of the brain, and we just, in fact, go away. We just continue to detune. So they seems as though most of them go closer to the matrix. They don't want to think on themselves. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to protest anything. They don't want to argue with anything. They just, in fact, want to stay in their comfort zone, and that's the matrix. That's the tube. That's where they got that real good-feeling HD wave that's got a commercial coming at you every 2 minutes. It's insanity to try to watch any kind of TV. Now, I wouldn't have it, but there are other people in my family that do, in fact, participate in watching TV. Okay, fine. Isn't that their choice? Yes, it is. And no amount of guilt in the world is going to change that, obviously. So, but see, that's like a comfort zone for those people. They sort of gravitate to that. There's something in there that they like a lot. And is it about entertainment? Is it the personalities of the people that you see? I don't know. Who knows what? Probably accumulation of all of them, a dissection of many of them. But in this thing with what's in the air, what's in our diet, and what goes into our brain, it just detunes it, shuts it down. Actually, we're not anywhere close to the frequency that we must be on to have our own mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned aspartame, and I know that it's basically rat poison. They call it other things, and they give it a taste. And I'm thinking that the sweetness of aspartame comes from aspartic acid, which can be indirectly, well, or directly attributed to sugar cane on some level, but there's not enough. It's not sugar. It's a non-sugar substance that's mimicking the taste of sugar, to some extent. And then there's another aspect of what makes up aspartame, which is called phenylalanine, which is an amino acid that is found in plant proteins. Now, there must be some way that they're bonding these two acids together or binding these two acids together in this powdered form that is causing the same inhibitions that you're describing with fluorine. Have you done any studies on that? Because there are a lot of people that are using artificial sweeteners, and we can say anything labeled a diet drink has got some form of an artificial sweetener in it.
Well, yeah, and have I done work on that particular area myself? No, I have not. Reading works of people like, you ever heard of a gentleman from Europe, from the UK called Purdy? I think his name is Eugene Purdy, Dr. Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y.
No, don't think I have.
Well, he wrote a series of early papers, and these were 2001 and 2 that I discovered this, but he was talking about prions. And the
I'm familiar with that. Okay.
Well, okay, but he was also talking in the context of certain types of foods. In fact, well, they're not foods. Aspartame is certainly not food. Shouldn't be on the bench, in fact, anywhere around something called food. That's just like all GMO. That's not food. That's thin food. That's synthetic food. If it's food, it's synthetic. So take your pick. But the thing that Purdy identified in a lot of these that there's so many things in this synthetic world that we're in, including trying to mimic certain foodstuffs or certain flavors or things like that, which, of course, Monsanto has always been very good in. But what they're doing into the brain and those other regions of the body, the heart, we talked about MSG. Well, aspartame and all those derivatives from aspartic acid, in fact, are designed, in fact, to develop a neurotoxicity. In other words, it's almost as if the neuron, in fact, is it's caused to, in fact, to start to malfunction. It can't, in fact, develop the firing fluids necessary through the synapse, through phosphatidylcholine or through the choline esterase that it's able to, in fact, completely function on a routine basis because this does inhibit it, and I believe it's electronic in its nature of that inhibition.
Mm-hmm. Now, my understanding of prions is that they're basically invisible, that if you tried to look at them under a microscope, you wouldn't really see them. So is it through chemical processes and testing that they can determine the amount or the existence of a prion in a solution?
Well, you said you understand that that you can't see them.
Yes.
That's probably accurate because of the way that they do exist. But now, did you know the first prion that was ever established and cultured was, I guess it was like a mollusk. It was really ancient.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out of Yellowstone Park, a Yellowstone National Park, in those pools, those water pools that were there, and they got all this gorgeous, like algae form growing. They got russet reds and some gorgeous, vivid, vibrant yellows. And you remember all those things?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first things that they, in fact, were able to, they took a sample of those and, in fact, were able to begin the process of attaching other groups to these prions for some reason. Apparently, that's the granddaddy of all this stuff that they've been putting in the air for how many years now that affects elk and deer, and it's called the elk disease, I guess. But there is an infect, mad cow is associative with that, and that's exactly what Dr. Purdy was, in fact, talking about in one of those papers that I read back in 2001. And it's just the utilization of something that's natural that they've, in fact, been able to manipulate and mutate to a point where they've incorporated a mycoplasma in with this, and it's enabled itself to, in fact, to go in and degrade the brain using almost the same mechanism that we spoke about just a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
Its ability to fire properly.
Yes. Yeah, I'm of the opinion that many of the neuromuscular diseases are caused by these infections that you just alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Mycoplasmic infection.
Right. Mycoplasmic and metals. There's just the metals inclusion, in fact, is just so it's so stark that this is just another malady or infirmary caused by some type of metallic poisoning. I mean, gallium has, in fact, been found in the chemtrails in abundant quantities. Make another dot connection here real quick with me.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke of the representative here in Ohio being a mere corporate agent. Oh, listen, he's right and left in bed with Cargill, Battelle, Monsanto, Big Agra, all of them. Yeah, that's how he exists. But did you know that Battelle also has their own subsidiary private jet fleet down in Oklahoma City, and they are outfitted, the Gulfstreams, in fact, are clearly outfitted with equipment used for spraying operations. They use what they call a reverse eductor system, and they're able to mix these materials inside the body of a Gulfstream 39, I believe it is, and in fact be able to inject those into the air using this eductor spinneret system.
Mm-hmm.
And these are polymers and strands that they're injecting into the air. Okay, now,
yes.
That's a subsidiary of Battelle here in Columbus. The same
as
Leonard Horowitz says.
Yeah.
Okay, Leonard Horowitz says it's the same ones that done the flu the first time over in West Jefferson. Well, also Battelle, if that rings a bell, that is the company that's got the patents on a metal called nitinol. Hey, do ruby begonias ring any bells? Nitinol, in fact, was the alleged material that was taken off the Roswell crash and, in fact, was flown to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. This technology for this kind of material was based on nickel and titanium. Battelle holds all the patents on the material that they reverse-engineered from them. But then again, recognize that name, Battelle? You know how big they are in biological sense, and all the bacterium, the mold, the world of microbials, and oh, they're the experts on bioremediation of various contaminants from the earth using their technology of biotreatments and so on and so forth. These people, in my opinion, to me, are repugnant. They make my skin crawl because they are so involved in this thing that we're calling the chemtrails. It's just one of these days, Don, that will come to bear on all of those people in that company that are real big here in this city where I'm at.
Yeah. Now, I came to learn that the Ohio State Director of MUFON was the attorney for Battelle.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how
there's
how
another
they,
dot. There's another dot.
Yeah.
See, there's another dot, and you know, there's lots of dots. Yeah, there's lots of dots here. But see, if you just keep connecting them again, there's the Air Force. There's Battelle. There's what they recovered from the Roswell crash and others. Coming to Wright Pat, we've known ever since I've been a kid that growing up and around in the Dayton, Ohio area, they always talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's below there. They've got a massive like city underneath the base, And there's where at least one of these beings was located. His name was Zok. Z-O-K. But it's spelled Z-O-U-K. Zok. And Zok was responsible for teaching the Air Force a lot about their technologies, especially in computers, and all these other senses. But he was a small gray.
Now, was he any relation, as far as you know, to Dov Zakheim?
Oh.
A little political.
It was his uncle. It was, yeah. You know where I told you I thought most of these beings came from. So, you know, when the abductees, you know, oh, yeah. Well, see, these women were all told that that being was their child and they would never see them again. That's the only thing they ever remember under hypnosis and regression analyses, and these interviewers, in fact, virtually said that these women told the same story, beginning at the age of like 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of 15-year-olds, lots of teenagers and 20-years-old, they told the same story when they woke up, or when they like came out of this, was this a dream? They remember that thing. Now, this was not just in the United States. We found out this was all over the world. How many millions of women told the same story? They try to tell that same story to someone involved with our government. Government did not want to hear it. They still don't want to hear it. That's why I contend it's the most obvious thing in the world of who they really are and where
mm-hmm.
they really came from. Or at least their mama and dada, but that's not possible either, because grays don't reproduce, they replicate.
Yes. Well, Mike, we've run out of time. This time it's just flying.
Well, we've really taken a journey,
again,
didn't
and
we?
I would like to continue this discussion right where we left off tomorrow.
All right.
If we can remember that 24 hours.
I just keep saying the same thing, Don, so don't worry. I'll bring you back to the right place. But I'd like to also extend my heartfelt hello there to General Jeremiah, if he's somewhere standing listening close this evening. So maybe we can go there, because, see, all this connects together, Don. That's why I was just so excited about meeting you and talking with you and talking your languages, because, see, you're talking about this type of stuff of where I want to go. I want to know everything there is to know about where this other exists that is so much more human-like than these people that we are saying are the killer beings.
Oh,
these
yeah.
people out there in this galaxy, they're civilized. See, that's what we're now missing. We're missing this ability to maintain a human population, even trying to exterminate the possibility of reproduction through all these drugs and pharmacies. Even the foods are affecting that for continued enhancement or just the continuation of human as a life form. That's what's being transmutated. And I know you and I are in the same boat of saying, not so fast. How do you shut this machine off? That's all I want to know. How do you shut this down? So let's pick it up there tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that. Well, you know, to speak on behalf of the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, they are operating from the heart. They were at one time in their history, like here on Earth, visited by the personality we know as Jesus Christ. And they go to great lengths to eat healthy food and to avoid toxins of any kind. That in and of itself prolongs their life into the hundreds of years, not just 100. 500 years is, in a lifetime is not unspeakable or unthinkable. So you can imagine the amount of consciousness that can be developed just in one being. If they're exposed to the right environment and the right information.
And the opposite and, of the right
and
nutrients.
And are in tune with that.
Right.
So, maybe we'll get a call sometime when you're on the show.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I put my message out quite a few years ago of somewhere in the Pleiadians cluster, that's what my message was. I know there's someone there that can tell us how to shut this thing called Morgellons transmutation and polycrystalline arrays, shut it down. I'm almost positive, Don, that's where it came from the reticulum, somewhere around, and it could, in fact, be squarely involved with King Fall and the Orinian cluster, in Orion. See, most people don't have any clue of what that is, but it's so obvious that it's there. Because Zeta Reticulum, in fact, is that as a species are all over these galaxies. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll pick that up again tomorrow, and I may have more to add to that myself. Because I'm somewhat familiar with what's going on in other parts of the galaxy, the solar system, and the universe as well, not necessarily in that order. Dr. Mike Castle, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and this is a rare event tomorrow, having the same guest on two nights in a row, intentionally.
Well, I won't be on the Dr. Truott show tomorrow afternoon, so.
Oh, yes. Now, tomorrow evening, I'm going to be on Rick Adams' show, and I put this out for my listening audience on republicbroadcasting.org. That is from Central Time. They go by the Central Time schedule there from 9 p.m. Central till 11. And we're going to be talking about my research into the story behind the story at Fort Hood, and it's pretty interesting. You're going to find it to be very interesting. I've connected a lot of dots. We were helped by many people in the state of Texas that saw certain things that were going on, and we were able to corroborate these things even across the Atlantic Ocean with other sources of information that knew what was happening and why it was happening. And that, of course, is in the article that I just wrote for The Observer, but we may touch upon that a little bit tomorrow night if we have a chance to.
Great.
Okay. So, Mike, I wish you a very good evening and look forward to your interview tomorrow on Evident Footprints.
Okay. Good evening, Don.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and on blogtalkradio.com. Join us again tomorrow night when our special guest will again be Dr. Mike Castle. Special thanks go out to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.